20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. Thanks again for joining us today. My name is Dan Kotnick, and we are officially out of draft month. We have passed all of our draft coverage here on the Pack-A-Day Podcast, and we're getting back into the normal rhythm, the normal schedule that that you all have known to come and love. A few shakeups along the way. Some stuff got moved around. I know that there's going to be, all across the whole week schedule, there's going to be new teams coming up. And we are no different here in our group. Usually you hear me, myself, with Janelle Mackey and Matt Fralick every other Tuesday. We flip with Andy, so we're recording this for the Monday podcast. But this whole group here, usually our every other Tuesday group, it's me and Janelle. But Janelle, we've got a brand new face. We've swapped out Matt for a brand new face here in the Pack-A-Day Podcast group and our team here. Janelle, do you want to introduce people to a person that you've had a little bit of experience with before in the past and other ventures?
Yeah. So first of all, we didn't try to trade Matt. He was taken from us. So just know that we didn't want to get rid of him. Matt was cut from
such a warm welcoming right off the bat
and signed with a new team. But we brought on Eli Berkovitz, who obviously, if you follow me, you know that we do open book together every Thursday with Zach. So yeah, I don't know if he's excited to have to talk to me as much as he is, but I'm excited to work with him despite picking on him for taking Matt's place.
Yeah, I'm ready to fill Matt's shoes. I know that it's a big job to do that, but I am more than prepared to take it away. So I'm excited to join the team, and thank you guys for letting me swap out with Matt.
Yeah, and our Jimmy Graham, as we've been calling him.
No. I'm not Jimmy Graham.
Matt was our Jordy, and Eli's our Jimmy.
No, I would say more. Devontae and Matt could be Jordy. So it's like Jordy left and Devontae kind of became a star. So I would, you know, gravitate more towards Devontae than Jimmy Graham.
I was going to say Martellus Bennett, but I like Devontae. Wow. Bennett. No.
Awesome. You're so welcome.
No, for about 3 minutes in, and Eli might already ask to quit and
really. No, in all seriousness, no, it is awesome to have Eli join us. I mean, if you are a person on Packers Twitter, there's not a chance in hell that you have not run across one of the many like awesome video compilations and breakdowns and stuff like that Eli puts together. So it's great to have a name and a guy like you, Eli, joining our group. So as much crap as we give you, we welcome you into the group for sure with open arms. I'm sure we're going to have a lot of fun as we move into the rest of this off season and and pretty soon. I recorded Saturday and I sat down and was like, oh my gosh, like literally a month from now, we're going to be talking about OTAs and mini camps.
Yeah.
And then before you know that, it's going to be training camp. Like this whole off season just feels like it flies by once you get through the draft process and everything. So speaking of the draft, we've moved past a lot of our Packers draft coverage. And so that means today we're going to spend probably about, like, I don't know, 40 minutes just talking about Aaron Rodgers. That's what I feel like we're going to do. We'll just spend about an hour breaking down literally every sentence punctuation mark that he has sent out or spoke in the last year and a half to get to the bottom of this.
I wish that people could see behind the scenes how emotionally distraught Eli is over all this, because this is his guy. So it's like I'll be talking to him and it's out of nowhere like, man, I'm just sad.
Yes.
It's so brutal. I feel so bad. Like, the situation is a mess in itself, but watching Eli on the sideline just suffer through it, I don't know. I get a little sick pleasure out of it, even though I'm secretly suffering too.
Yeah, it's been a long 2 weeks, or it's a week. I don't even know. The days have kind of blurred together since draft day and that story came out from Shefty. But yeah, I mean, you know, I'm running on about 11 minutes of sleep in the last 2 weeks, and I'm really excited for the future of all of us. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's not been fun. I mean, it's like I've likened it to, and this is going to be a real downer, and I apologize right off the bat, but it's kind of like when you have an older animal, like a dog that's been around for like 12, 13 years, and they're getting a little bit slower, and you know, like, okay, like, I've got a couple more years left with this dog. I'm going to love this dog. I'm going to enjoy my time. And then, like, it's like all of a sudden you're coming to realize, like, oh, this might be ending a lot sooner than I was emotionally prepared for. That's where I feel like I'm at right now. I knew that I only had a couple more years of Aaron Rodgers, and this whole thing is just basically giving me a panic. I'm like, I wasn't ready. I didn't get a chance to say goodbye. I just want a chance to say goodbye to him. And it's like, I feel like he's being ripped away from me. I don't want that yet. I just give me a couple more years so I can give myself the emotional space to process it and give the final hurrah. Like, I think that's the thing that would suck most about this is that I know I said we weren't going to spend a lot of time on this, but the thing that would suck most is not being able to give him kind of the Kobe Paul Pierce like send off, you know, like those, like kind of like those players, like you got to have a farewell tour, and to only have Lambeau filled with a couple thousand people in that NFC Championship game, if that ends up where that's his last game as a Packer, that's really going to suck. Like, he deserves kind of to have that full crowd there behind him one last time. So I just hope it's not the end, but.
Well, thanks, Dan. Now I'm depressed, but.
Now that you're talking about dead dogs.
That was a real.
I love Aaron Rodgers. Let me shoot this dog real quick.
Like, rough analogy.
Happy Mother's Day, everybody.
Oh, yeah, Mother's Day.
But you know, the Packers, they already bought their new puppy, though, so it'll. In Jordan Love.
That's.
This is getting really sad. But
yeah,
no,
I don't want to talk about dogs anymore.
No, I get what you're saying, though, with the whole, you know, you want it to, if he goes out, whether he retires or whether he goes and plays for another team, you want his departure from Green Bay to be done the right way. You don't want it to be sour or salty or bitter, like all these negative connotations, mm-hmm. that you want it to be a celebration, like a big thank you for everything you've done. And I feel like the way that this is happening, it's almost people are getting so mad at him, and we realistically don't even know the situation because he hasn't said anything and the team is being pretty quiet about it. So it's all speculation, it seems like, and people are picking their sides and they're already moving on and, you know, screw Rodgers and booing his commercials. And all of a sudden it's like, this is not the way that it's supposed to end. This is not how it's supposed to happen. So I've been trying to stay optimistic about it and thinking, you know what, it's fixable. Like, Jones said, and kind of believing his friends over the media, and yeah, it's messy and it sucks, but realistically we don't know what's happening, so just try and stay positive until you kind of hear from an actual source from within the team and then go from there. But hopefully it's all just a huge mess right now. You know, seems like every summer there's Aaron Rodgers drama, and this is just kind of the big finale of drama. But hopefully it all works out, and he's taking snaps in September.
For the Packers.
For the Packers, yes.
Right, get. Yeah. Add that caveat in there, Janelle, because I don't need any of that other stuff.
Well, he could retire and go host Jeopardy, but I feel like that would at least make it easier if that's what he were to decide to do. I feel
it
like
would.
Watching him host
I would Jeopardy, prefer he retire than play somewhere else.
Same. Sure.
Okay, I'm glad I didn't have to fight you guys on that one, but
yeah,
no, anything is better than playing for anything is better than watching him play for somebody else.
Yeah, I mean, I already had to do it with Jordy. I don't want to have to do it with Rodgers too.
Here's the ultimate best case scenario. Not okay. Take that back. Not best case scenario, because best case scenario is he comes back and wins three Super Bowls. But. Let's call this plan B. Best plan B. He retires from the NFL and becomes a superstar in the Canadian Football League. And we get to then you get the crossover, because then Packer fans can all still root for him. And can you imagine the CFL with Aaron Rodgers at the helm.
He would just throw for 50,000 yards a season and 125 touchdowns and just win every championship ever. I would be down to watch it. Why not?
I would really love to see what a guy like Aaron Rodgers could do, like in the CFL or Arena Football League, even.
The AFL would be hilarious.
That'd be, oh my God, arena can you imagine? Football,
like he goes and plays for the Green Bay Blizzard.
just throwing like 45-yard darts, like 100-mile-an-hour darts, like from his own end zone, like and throwing touchdowns. That would be sick. Okay, well, that covers our obligatory Aaron Rodgers talk. The therapy group will meet later this week. I think Thursday is our set date. We wanted to focus a little bit on a review of the draft. I know that we've spent so many weeks now covering everything Packers draft, looking ahead to the draft, and then spending almost a whole week breaking down everything about the draft, which I hope you guys all appreciated. I had a lot of fun doing it with our crew. We want to take a look now and expand this to the Packers opponents. We want to take a whip around the NFC North, just kind of review what everyone in the NFC North did draft-wise, take a look at some of the big names, some of the moves, what we liked, what we didn't like. So Lions, Bears, Vikings, guys, just kind of like a basic overview, like looking at all the picks, like I've got a whole list of everybody's picks here back-to-back. Like there's really – it really feels like the NFC North as a whole – did not do anything sexy outside of Justin Fields. Like it's all offensive linemen, defensive linemen, linebackers, cornerbacks. Like there's no Justin Jefferson move this year. There's no big one. Like I said, except for Justin Fields, that's obviously the biggest one. But I mean, like, what do you like? Just when you guys look at just what everybody did in the NFC North, do you get that same vibe? Like, it just doesn't feel like a very sexy draft overall for anybody in the North.
Yeah, I think Bears probably have the best draft. Unfortunately, they had a really good draft. Yeah, Justin Fields obviously being the biggest name out of those guys. And, you know, Vikings, I was kind of surprised with them. I thought that you know, they could have taken Mac Jones. They trade back and end up with, I think it was a guard. So that kind of threw me off where, you know, I kind of laughed. It's like they ended up taking a quarterback later, but you could have had one better. And I don't know. And then the Lions, there's just nothing about their draft that really stood out to me. It just seems like a lot of, you know, puzzle pieces, but nothing, no big superstars aside from Fields, but you know, he's going to the Bears. So his career is probably going to die anyways.
Eli, what's your take?
Yeah, I kind of agree with you. I mean, there's no huge name outside, obviously, of the Justin Fields pick. You know, looking at the Lions, you know, the Lions, they only drafted seven guys, but I think they picked up some good players. I mean, Penei Sewell falling to them, I believe, at 8, which was a shocker. He was in most people's mock drafts, you know. Once the quarterbacks were gone, he was really the next person to be taken. So him falling was a bit of a shock. And I think they got three good players towards the later rounds. And Ifeatu Melifonwu at cornerback, Equanimeous St. Brown's brother, Amon-Ra St. Brown, who I believe had – I mean, I'm a huge EQ fan, but I think Amon-Ra could be even better. And then Jamar Jefferson, the running back, he's an interesting pick to me. But going back to the Bears, I would have to agree with Jen. It probably had the best overall draft. I mean, when you get a quarterback like Justin Fields, it's almost like a given. But then you go in the second round and you get Tevin Jenkins, who so many people had mocked in the first. Packers obviously were a hot name around him. Going and grabbing Daz Newsome late in the draft. And then they got, you know, a pretty underrated defensive tackle prospect, Chris Tonga, I believe, in the 7th round at a BYU. So the Bears and Lions, I think, had some pretty strong drafts. The Vikings getting Darrisaw where they did, I thought was a good value. Kellen Mond, I mean, I guess we'll have to see. I'm not overly excited about him. I don't think he's that great. But the other two picks I liked out of the Vikings, and when I say like, I mean really dislike as a Packer fan, was Chaz Surratt, the middle linebacker, and Amir Smith-Marset, the wide receiver out of Iowa, were a couple guys I thought the Packers could target. Vikings ended up with them. But overall, Dan, like you said, outside of Fields, not really a sexy draft. But, I mean, I would say the Packers had a pretty sexy draft, in my opinion.
I mean, it's sexy. These are drafts that are sexy if you're a draft nerd, I feel like. Like, it's not the draft where, you know, I had family members banging the table for a wide receiver and were so upset. Like, oh, well, thank goodness we got another cornerback. Thank goodness we did this. And it's like, but if I hate to be like draft snobby, but like if you really kind of understand what the draft is supposed to truly be like, it's not a fantasy Madden draft where you just get to pick your favorite player and plug them in, and it just everything is sunshine and rainbows after that. Like, it's picking value, and it's picking guys that you think are going to fit into your scheme. It's picking the best available player. Like, there's so much that goes into it of picking the player, the best player available, or the player that's a good value at that pick. You can't just pick they were also clamoring for a defensive tackle. I don't think there was a defensive tackle in this draft that was worthy of a first round pick. So, like, you can't just make that pick because you want to make the pick.
Dan, real quick, not to get you off, but I think this year, more than any other years, whether it was Goody or Ted Thompson, I do believe they drafted a little bit more out of need as opposed to best player available, because there were clear holes on the roster, and they addressed just about every single one in cornerback, offensive line, and wide receiver, as opposed to last year, maybe in the other Goody drafts where it was, you know, best player available or maybe some depth there. I thought this year they actually attacked some of their needs more aggressively, and I like to see that. And one example I keep using is the Amari Rodgers example, because, you know, I think Ross Uglum said out of the 25 out of the 28 picks that Goody has made as a general manager had a RAS score above 8.0, and Amari Rodgers came in at 5.37, which is very uncharacteristic for Goody to go after a guy like that. But that shows that, number one, he saw the need at receiver, but more importantly, he clearly loves Amari Rodgers, believes in him a lot, and thinks he's the perfect fit in the Matt LaFleur scheme, kind of like what you said earlier, Dan, when it's, you know, yeah, he might be the biggest name, but you want to find guys that are going to fit your team's scheme the best. And I think going after someone like Amari Rodgers, even with a 5.37 RAS score, that shows that Goody was a bit more urgent in filling the needs that the Packers had currently as opposed to building towards the future, which is what last year's draft felt like.
Ah, Eli, you took my one point.
That's what I'm here
exactly
for.
Exactly what I thought. You know, last year it was a lot of, you could tell they're planning for the future. And then this year it really felt they were planning for the now, which I think that's what made it more exciting this year than last, because it was like, okay, we're getting what we need to be successful this upcoming year. And then last year it was kind of like, you know, the picks, nobody really loved them because we didn't feel like we needed them. Obviously, you know, with Dylan, need them now, but guys got hurt and we really didn't see much from last year's draft class. But with this year's, I'm expecting to see a few of them in starting roles, which is really exciting.
Yeah. And I mean, too, the situations between the 2 years are sort of different as well, you know, because going into this past year, you realize that you're getting, like, this is going to be the first year that things are going to click. You've had one full year under Matt LaFleur. All of these new pieces, like the Smith brothers, Amos, Rodgers in this new system, things are going to start to click a little bit more coming into this second year. So we expect that, you expect that, you're kind of hoping that guys that were in the system, like maybe a Kevin King that didn't play, or you're still expecting a little bit more out of, or even some of the wide receivers like EQ, Jay Sternberger, you know, you're kind of expecting them to take a little bit of a step forward. And so you maybe treat that as thinking, well, we can draft for future need, or players that we're expecting to develop a little bit more, because we're hoping that in this second year under this new system with this new staff, things are going to jump. And they did, for the most part. You know, the things kind of played out the same. There's obviously, though, now you've kind of seen where the holes are moving forward. Cornerback being one of the big ones, with the Bakhtiari injury, with Corey Linsley leaving, offensive line became a huge one. And now at wide receiver, with the uncertainty of contracts moving past this year, wide receiver becomes the need. And so, yeah, so I think it's different situations, but like you said, Eli, it's good to see them be able to recognize that and draft differently. And because I feel like that was sort of a problem at the end of the Ted Thompson era, was it was always sort of the same mentality, no matter what year it was, or no matter what the situation was, he just followed the same. It was the same sort of process. But this year, like you said, there's more immediate holes being, you know, that need to be addressed. You were able to find the value at the right pick and execute it. And so, yeah, it's been said a number of times on the podcast, I know, but just to say it again, like, an absolute killer of a draft, I think, addressed all the major needs, like you guys said. Focusing now, let's start with, I have the Lions listed first on my list, so we'll start there. The Lions, I'm looking down this list and I really just don't know how I feel about looking at all this, because Penei Sewell, I love him as a tackle. I think, you know, obviously one of the best linemen in the draft, well, probably the best lineman in the draft. To fall to 7 like he did, like that's huge for them. I just don't know how this all really kind of helps them now. And so when you look at them bringing in Jared Goff, trading away Matt Stafford, I don't know where they are. Are they in win now? Are they trying to win now mode, or are they in tank mode moving forward? Like, and just playing out the rest of Goff's contract to see what happens after this, because you get an offensive lineman to help Goff. And then in rounds two and three, you drafted defensive tackles who, again, like I said, I was not a fan of this tackle class. I think it helps. It being in the second and third round, that's great. But like, then you a cornerback, a wide receiver, linebacker, running back. I just don't see where, like, there's so many holes to be filled with the Lions that it's hard to get excited about what they would do, what they did as a Lions fan, because I just don't know what the, like, what's the process right now? Are these supposed to be the building blocks for after Jared Goff? Does this mean that we're in tank mode? Like, are we just running out the rest of Goff, what Goff has? Just when I look at this, like, thinking as a Lions fan and being here in Detroit, I hear a lot about it. It's just very, like, we don't, like, what do you take out of this? Well, you know, like,
what to expect out of Goff and out of Dan Campbell.
Right. I mean,
the thing is, you hire a new head coach, you hope that the first year you hire a new head coach, you're not going into tank mode. That would be pretty sad. But
it is the Lions.
The Lions don't really have any receivers. Yeah.
Right.
That's it. They got St. Brown, but, you know, he's a potentially good player at best. You know, we don't know exactly what he's going to turn into. They lost Kenny Galladay. They lost Marvin Jones. So, in my opinion, are they going to try to tank? No, but they're the Lions, and they will. So, it'll be hilarious.
Well, and then, obviously, they kind of bulked up the defense, so it's almost like we're going to try and stop the other teams more than we care about putting up points. So yeah. That's kind of the vibe I get from them, you know, not getting those offensive pieces, but more so trying to stop their opponents instead of beat their opponents.
Right. And like, I mean, that's kind of, you kind of, yeah, exactly what I say. It was, if you're not attacking the offense, then to me, that says we're not trying to necessarily I think tank is a very dirty word nowadays, but not in this, like, there's Jaguars tanking and then there's, like, quote unquote tanking, you know. And I think that's where the Lions are right now, is quote unquote tanking, because they're not necessarily trying to lose games, but they're not really trying to win games. If you're trying to win games, I feel like you're going more heavily with you're looking for weapons. You're doing maybe more offense. You're doing maybe taking one more offensive lineman, because I have to imagine there's more gaps to be filled along that line than just one that Penei Sewell's going to have to hang on with. But like you said, there's really no weapons there to begin with. Jamal Williams is like probably the biggest free agent signing you had outside of the Goff move. And he's probably looking to be like the second or third running back in this group right now. These show to me that you're planning to win in a couple of years. You're hoping that these guys become building blocks to build off of. I just don't love it. I really don't. But that's what the Lions like to do, though.
Yeah, thankfully we're not Lions fans.
Oh God, listening to Detroit sports radio, it makes me thankful every single day. It's like listening to gospel music as a Packer fan. You're like, praise God. Like I have well, moved away from the powers of Satan. I do not follow the Lions.
They almost do like the draft and develop, but they forget to develop. They just had a draft.
And they're not great at the draft part either.
And then, yeah. The Lions, yeah, I didn't see their overall plan with the two defensive tackles. And I don't know. I mean, their whole plan was interesting, but I was a little frustrated. I would have liked to have seen Ifeatu Melifonwu, but Shamar Jean Charles I like even more, so I'm more than okay with that swap.
Mm-hmm. Well, and what's tough, too, is the Lions obviously not being that great of a team, also having, I think, the fewest picks in the division. A lot of things happening with them, so that does not help them at all. I think they had, what, seven?
Mm-hmm. I think the Bears ended up with seven as well, but I think that's because they traded away a few of those to move up for the Fields pick.
The Lions acquired three, right?
Oh, I think you're right. No, you are right. Yeah.
They acquired more, and the Bears kind of gave away, but the Bears ended up kind of winning their ends.
Right. No, you're right. Yeah, they did. Okay, you're right. Well, let's talk about the Bears then real quick. That's the one that we've talked about. It really sucks to say, but I love their draft. We've talked about it before. Justin Fields, as an Ohio State fan, I am so pissed about this because
every time we record,
I really did not want to have to root against Justin Fields. I was already trying to make peace with watching him as a 49er because I thought that, you know, that's where all the smoke was kind of going. And then to end up as a Bear, like, God bless it.
Bears traded up to get him too, right?
Yeah.
Like, so as soon as they traded up,
I knew right away. Yeah. Let me get the opinion on you guys before we talk more about the Bears. Trading up, the move to trade up to Justin Fields, I think they were pick 20, so they trade up to pick 11. They move up 9 spots to get Justin Fields. I forget what they gave up. I think they gave up – did they give up a first next year?
Yeah, next year's first.
Okay. That's the big one, is next year's first. So doing that to get Justin Fields like this, what's your thoughts? What do you think of it?
I think it kind of finally showed that the Bears are serious. You know, they didn't want to screw up again after the whole Trubisky quarterback situation. I think they wanted to – prove that they can try and get it right the second time around and really start to build something. Cause I mean, yeah, they go out and they sign their free agents with Andy Dalton and such, but you know, is he really going to be the one that carries this franchise? Probably not, since he hasn't really been able to do it with his own in the past. And Justin Fields, he's a guy that there's all that talk and you hope that your staff can develop him into what he needs. And then you can start to draft around him. And yeah, I mean, I hate to say it, but I think that this was probably the best move they could have made, and they have an exciting quarterback, and you know, one instead of passing up on him and drafting a different quarterback early on, they finally got it right, I think, and it's just a matter of can he acclimate to the NFL and produce.
Well, let's not get ahead of ourselves assuming the Bears got anything right.
Yeah, that's fair.
They made a gigantic move 4 years ago or 5 years ago for Trubisky. And to be honest, I think most people didn't think it was the right move anyway, as opposed to this move, which more people are on board with. But, I mean, as Jim McMahon said, Chicago is the place where quarterbacks go to die. And I don't know if you saw Justin Fields. The Bears released the video today of Justin Fields getting the call from Matt Nagy on his pick. It sounded, I mean, the look on his face, it sounded like he got a call and just found out that, you know, his cat was run over in the street.
That old dog Dan was talking about.
See, I was thinking, if I say dog, it'll be too much like Dan dog. But then I didn't want to say cat because, Jen, I know you have two cats, but I ran out of animals. How many animals? Dog
and cat. Mike, go back to your turtle, Eli.
Oh, yeah. Okay, he ran over my turtle. Dan, I had a turtle for 12 hours. It bit me. I hate that turtle. I returned it immediately. but bottom line is, I am afraid a little bit, if I'm being honest, about the potential of Justin Fields. Then again, I really do have faith in Chicago and their ability to ruin quarterbacks. And I'm not saying that facetiously. I really do believe that. But again, I think he does have talent. But in watching, who was it? Watching Josh Myers. I watched a ton of his film. So obviously I saw Justin Fields. And yes, he made some spectacular throws, but he also missed on some throws. And I don't think he's anything. I don't think he's a complete product yet. Basically, I think Dalton should start the season for them, make it at least a handful of games, maybe 6 weeks, 4 weeks, 6 weeks. We'll probably see Fields, but I mean, the rest of their draft is what's interesting. As I mentioned before, getting Tevin Jenkins in the second round is a very good value, and getting Daz Newsome, is a receiver out of North Carolina, I believe, that I was very excited about on day two, and they picked him up, so that should be interesting. But overall, it's the Bears, and their defense isn't the 2018 Bears defense at all. And even if Fields ends up being good or a star or just average, whatever it is, they have to build a team around him. And outside of Allen Robinson, and I don't even know if I would consider David Montgomery a huge weapon, I don't know how much they have on offense. And their offensive line isn't that great. Yes, they added Tevin Jenkins, but They're going to need, you know, it's going to be a process. They're going to have to build around Fields, assuming he's the guy, and then rebuild that defense they had a couple years ago, because Fields isn't going to do it alone. As Packer fans, we all know quarterbacks can't win the game by themselves, or Aaron Rodgers would have 10 Super Bowls. So,
yeah, the thing with Justin Fields, I love for the Bears, I love this move. If you think that this is your guy, which I think that is, to fall for a guy like Justin Fields to fall to 11, to trade up to get him like that, that's a home run sort of move. That's a swing for the fences move. You need your quarterback, and he was one of the best. I think it's there's people that were saying he was the best. Like, there were people ranking him above you know, everyone else in the class. I think he's going to be a good quarterback. I think you're spot on, Eli. He's going to take some time, especially to get used to an NFL system. The Bears probably do the Fitzpatrick to a situation where you throw the wily veteran out there for a couple weeks, let him take, you know, the crap for a couple weeks, and then bring Justin Fields in to see what you got, and hope that he, by that time, he kind of comes around. The thing that should make Packer fans happy about this situation, though, is that it almost guarantees that Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy will be back longer, will stay longer. Because if they don't make this move, let's say they draft a wide receiver, an offensive tackle, and they trot Andy Dalton out there as the quarterback this year. Let's say they bring in, like a, I think Bortles is still out there. Let's say they have a QB competition between the two or whatever. Whatever they trot out there.
You saw the
report. That's right. You still do have Foles sitting.
You saw the report today about Foles. They tried trading him back to the Eagles. They said no, and then they put out feelers, and not a single team wants to trade for him. What a surprise.
Oh, my gosh.
Could you imagine getting traded back? Oh, man. But let's say you run out whoever you have there. There's probably a good chance that at least Matt Nagy is gone after this year. You know, like the seat is hot. Now you've got the situation where, especially if you do the Andy Dalton for a couple weeks and Justin Fields comes in for three quarters of the season or half the season or whatever it is, then you get that old excuse of, well, we've still got this young quarterback sitting here. Like, give us a chance to develop him. Like, let's get our guy. Like, he's our guy. We want him. Like, when we get him in there, then we can go. And so then they give him another year. And let's say Justin Fields hangs around and makes him 8-8 or 9-7 or whatever it is now when it's 17-game season. You know, now it's a couple more years, and maybe you get lucky and they stick around for 4 or 5 years and they screw up even more drafts. And so that's what you hope with here with the Justin Fields.
Dan, yeah. It's very likely. I'm looking forward.
but you're right on the spot with Eli, the rest of it. I love the rest of the picks, getting the two offensive tackles like they did, especially Jenkins in the second round. Absolutely key for what the I almost called them the Browns. The Bears need to do. Yeah,
the Browns are actually better now. So,
yeah, the rest of it though, it feels needs it. You're just basically taking flyers on guys, but the top of the draft, you tried to anchor down two of the biggest spots, tackle and quarterback, and they did exactly that. But like you said, it is the Bears, and they will continue to suck. Last one here on the list, guys, the Minnesota Vikings creating a quarterback controversy for Kirk Cousins taking Kellen Mond in the third round. It's reported by Adam Schefter that Kirk Cousins is now planning to retire. He's told players that he doesn't plan to be back. He's threatened by Kellen Mond. Where's all the bull crap about Kellen Mond?
We could have just taken Kellen Mond this year and not taken Jordan Love last year, and we would all be happy. No one would be threatened. Mond would sit for 2 or 3 years, and we could all live our lives. But no, instead, we're living in a real-life apocalyptic scenario, and until it's resolved, I am going to be an extremely agitated person. So I blame – well, I blame Jen, of course.
Yeah, but I was going to say, it's always my fault.
I blame Jen, but what I meant to say is that, well, unfortunately, until it's resolved, probably my frustration will be taken out on the two of you as this situation intensifies, because I can't handle it much longer.
Well, I just don't understand. If you know that you need a quarterback, why would you not take Mac Jones when he's available? And then drop back and drop Kellen Mond, unless there's something I don't understand.
Oh, Janelle, I can answer that pretty quickly.
Is it because the Vikings suck?
It's three simple words. Mac Jones sucks. I do not like. I really don't like Mac Jones, and I think that is a on brand Vikings move to take a Mac Jones like that.
Christian Ponder, it'd be hilarious.
Right, exactly. It's Christian Ponder all over again. I actually applaud the Vikings for not taking the bait on Mac Jones and taking a guy like Christian Darrisaw, because that's exactly what you need. The Vikings offensive line has sucked for years.
Oh, 100%.
And you're guaranteed to have Kirk Cousins for how many more years? Two or three?
I think they added two more to an existing 1 year. So three. It's fully guaranteed.
Right, fully guaranteed. So you're guaranteed to have him for three more years. Get an offensive line to hopefully make something happen there. And if Kellen Mond becomes something in the next 2 or 3 years, perfect. But yeah, they avoided the same kind of Jordan Love controversy by not taking Mac Jones, I feel like, which in hindsight really pisses me off, because I would have loved to just have them go through the same kind of bullcrap that I'm going through. But you kind of hit on it when we were first talking about it. I really enjoy everything they did with this. I mean, it helps that they have 11 picks, so it's hard not to find guys.
14 to start out with too, so they had a lot to work with.
Yeah, in the third round, getting Wyatt Davis, the guard, I like that, because again, it's Ohio State guy. They just pump out offensive linemen, and to get him in the third round, it just helps shore up everything you're trying to do in there. And then I'm just looking through here. Yeah, you were talking about Smith Marset from Iowa in the fifth round. I think that could turn out to be the next Adam Thielen kind of.
Don't save it. You know, Dan, a part of me I want to do some, like, you're wearing your Lions hat, your Bears hat, your Vikings hat. Like, I mean,
Adam Thielen with everything going on.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, that was a way to bring up the Adam Thielen controversy.
Oh yeah, what did he say? He said something. Oh yeah, he dissed Lambeau Field. In the meantime, his stadium is killing thousands of birds daily. They're just flying into that gigantic glass wall. Minnesota, what a garbage place. Hey, Jen.
Okay, hey. We don't trash the entire state, but
look, you're a huge animal advocate, and your state.
I signed the petition for them to not put those panels.
A murder house.
It's a murder house for birds.
It is. There was a petition that went around before it opened up, and I signed it. And you know they don't care. Yeah, they're actually.
Oh yeah. Birds.
Okay, well, you know what? You know how I feel about birds, Jen. I don't trust them.
So you probably signed the petition to put the panels in.
I did. I always found birds to be a bit creepy, lurking above us, watching us. Like, what are they thinking?
Dinosaurs. They're dinosaurs, man.
If you could fly, you're 80% dinosaur, in my opinion. So I agree with you there, Dan. And in a way, I have to applaud, you know, the Vikings for extinguishing the rest of the dinosaurs. So thank you.
Oh, my gosh. No.
This conversation really went off the rails.
Jen, all I'm going to say, Jen, is just tell me one good thing birds do.
There you go.
That birds do, they eat bugs.
So do spiders. So do spiders and fish.
Yeah, and birds eat spiders, which everybody hates.
I love spiders. Give me another one. There's like one obvious one, and if you don't get it, I'm going to lose my mind.
About what birds do?
Yeah.
What's a positive aspect that birds bring to our culture?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think they're...
Eggs, buddy. You get their eggs. You eat their children.
Okay, don't go out and eat a robin egg.
I don't even know what that is. Chickens are birds. I'm just talking about eggs.
The one thing.
Quail eggs.
I enjoy watching birds and listening to them. We're like a weird bird family.
Okay, bird singing. I could get behind some.
So they wake us up early. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Hold your window then.
I love that this is where the Minnesota Vikings talk has taken us.
Like, yeah. I thought we were gonna shit talk Adam Thielen, and all of a sudden it goes into dissing.
No, Adam Thielen can go bleep himself. If that's your biggest jab at Packer fans or the Packers organization, then like
that we have bleachers.
Good job. Yeah.
I also can't, like, how do you disrespect Lambeau Field? Even as a rival, you got to have some respect. Like, it's Lambeau Field. Like, are you serious? You're going to come out and try to diss the most historic stadium and probably all of sports. Like, right. No one's going to back you up on that.
Like, yeah, I could. Of course, we don't have a halo screen. It was built in the early, like.
I don't even know what a halo screen is, but I don't want one. I'm happy with
the Lambeau. I think that's what the Falcons have, like the giant screen. Oh,
I can totally respect, like, a guy like Adam Thielen saying, I love going into Lambeau and beating the Packers in Lambeau because you went into the cathedral of the NFL. And you beat the team. You beat that team. You beat them in front of their fans at this altar of the NFL. You know, but there's no anything behind saying that it's a bad stadium. It's not like you want to brag on a bad stadium in the division. Go look at Soldier Field. That stadium is garbage.
I've been there way too many times, and Dan, you're absolutely right.
Well, and that, because he says he's like, there's nothing nice about it. It's like, yeah, because it's old, it's historic, but that's the beauty of it is that every part of that building.
There is modern, you know, they've renovated it. You got Titletown District. Like, it's a fun experience. Just
being there. I mean, like, Lambeau Field is literally in the neighborhood of Green Bay. Yeah. And there shouldn't be anybody questioning, like, oh, it's not nice. Why? Because. Like, there's bleachers and your butt might get sore. That sucks. Then stand up and cheer like you're supposed to. I don't,
Who cares? Bleachers or chairs? It's all none of it's padded. You're not getting a cushion.
And you can rent a back seat or you can buy a chair pad or anything like that if it is uncomfortable.
If you're sitting for that long, then you shouldn't be at the game anyway.
Usually you're in so many layers of clothing that it might as well be a seat.
Yeah.
It doesn't even matter.
I bundle up real nice. I love going to Packer games just to wear my winter socks that are like 11 layers thick. They could keep me warm through an entire winter just on those. And
My dad, he works construction, and obviously living in Minnesota, he helped build the new U.S. Bank Stadium. And I wish I could tell Adam Thielen the things that have happened to that stadium when they were going up. It was built by a group of Cowboys fans, and then my dad, a Packer fan. So things happen there.
And their stadium literally collapsed on top of itself. So Adam Thielen, be quiet and take your L's, which you always do against the Packers.
My dad on one of the beams, they all got to sign a beam when it went up, and he put an 87 for Jordy. So suck it, Minnesota. They weren't allowed to write Go Pack Go or anything, but there is a Jordy 87 up in the rafters of US Bank Stadium. Nice. In my honor.
So the Vikings draft, guys. No, I'm totally okay with that. I'm totally okay with the way that took. No, I just like there's not much more we could say about this one. It does everything that they needed to do. They got offensive line, got a quarterback prospect for the future, and then just basically trying to fill different spots and holes wherever they need to. They get a couple of defensive edge, defensive linemen. They need pass rush. Tried to find a couple more weapons on the offensive line.
I think they're the only team in the North that took a tight end. I don't think anybody else took a tight end.
I think you are correct.
Well, if we would have taken a tight end, I would have.
That would have been,
How many tight ends does one team need? It's like, let's just run. Bears,
they usually run with 13.
Yeah, that's true. Right. The Bears do love a good tight end, but the Packers have enough. So.
Well, Jay Sternberger told us they're planning on running a lot of 14 set this year.
Oh, I'm excited for that.
Yeah, so.
By the way, I am still very much on the Jay Sternberger train.
Same.
I do not believe he is done. I think he has a lot to show, and I'm very excited about it.
Yeah, but he's going to wear that 87. He's got to be big. That's why I'm really
I think he's more athletic and has higher potential, honestly, than Tanyan. Like, Tanyan clearly had a connection with Rodgers, but I don't know if either of you would argue with me that he's necessarily the most athletic guy in the world or the fastest or the best route runner. Like, Sternberger really has a lot of athleticism to his game that I'm very excited about. He's dealt with injuries, but I think if he could play a full season and see real reps – He's a tight end that can develop into something big. And tight ends take time, you know. It's not like a tight end can come in the first year or two and be a star. It could take three, 4 years even before you see real production from a tight end. So I'm not giving up on Sternberger anytime soon.
No, I think you're spot on with it. All right, guys, any other final – we've spent almost 50 minutes here talking about all of this, and we talked about birds, dogs, cats – everything NFC North that we could possibly throw in here, and then some other stuff. Any final thoughts on just draft stuff overall? Because I feel like we're the bookend for draft coverage. I think after this, there's really not much more draft you can kind of break down. So just last opinion or take on the draft season and draft draft season as a whole.
Jed, why don't you kick it off?
I'm just excited to kind of see where the Packers guys get plugged in. I know a handful of them are kind of more just that backup role, and you hope to not see them like the offensive linemen that they drafted. You hope to not see all of them because that means injuries are occurring. But I do think that there is a lot of potential for some big-time starters for the Packers, and I don't know, hopefully this year we actually get to kind of see some of that training camp preseason stuff that we didn't get last year, which kind of also messes with the draft. You know, you don't get to be as excited going into the season over the draft picks because you didn't really get to see them. So hopefully this year we get a little bit more exposure to those guys in the offseason, and that's what kind of excites me about this class too, is there's a lot to look forward to, and hopefully we get to see it.
Yeah, well, last year I got to see it through, I know you won't be able to see this, but through about a hole, an inch-sized hole in a fence, and I looked like a real creepo just staring through a fence at a bunch of grown men. So that was fun. But yeah, Jen, I agree. I hope we have regular training camp, and I will absolutely be out in Green Bay to watch that. But my final takeaways, a couple things. Number one, if this Aaron Rodgers drama wasn't currently happening, I believe 90% of Packer Nation would be pretty ecstatic with this draft. Right now, everyone's kind of just like, well, it doesn't really matter so much until we figure out what's with Rodgers. But if there was no Rodgers drama, I think everyone would walk out of this draft very happy. So that's first. And then secondly, just two quick points. I think Shamar Jean Charles and Isaiah McDuffie are going to be legitimate late round steals, whether it's this year or in the future. I like them both very much. I think for sure Jean Charles, I just have a feeling about McDuffie that he could end up being just a hard-nosed middle linebacker that they need. I know they have Martin and Barnes, but those are both second-year guys. One's undrafted, another one's a fifth-round pick. I think McDuffie has a chance for sure to make an impact on special teams and work his way into the defense.
Yeah, my last one, get your Josh Myers jerseys right now. I'm so on board with the Josh Myers thing. I put it into the universe week two against the Lions, talking with my dad. He's from my hometown. Looked through my old yearbooks. I went to grade school with him, separated obviously by several years and several grades. But now I can say officially that I went to school with the Green Bay Packer. And so Josh Myers, your center for the future, one day we're hanging his number up in Lambeau after he's won 5 Super Bowls with the Packers. Aaron Rodgers, exactly. And Aaron Rodgers rides off into the sunset, and it's on the back of Josh Myers. Perfect.
Dan just wanted to get that quick flex in there.
Oh, Janelle, buckle the hell up, because I'm going to try to slide that into every conversation I have about the Packers from here until the end of time.
Exciting. I'm sure people will love that.
People are going to – yeah, you guys are all going to love it. Buckle up, kids. I
need you to post his yearbook picture.
Yeah,
can we see that? Trust me, I'm working on getting the picture.
Need to see that. I need proof that it happened.
Hey, Dan, it's like weird because, you know, when you look at football players and you just kind of assume – they're older than you because they're like gigantic people. Dan, are you older than him?
Oh, wow.
See, it's so weird. Like I look at a guy like Kenny Clark, you know, and I'm like 3 years older than him, and he would eat me for breakfast. And I'm like,
yeah, Kenny Clark, he came into, I worked at Foot Locker in Green Bay, and he came in one time, and I was like, there's no way we're the same age. He is massive, and good thing they were shopping for his friend because nothing we had there would have fit him.
Yeah.
Massive, massive dude. Like, I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't think a person could be that
large.
Big. Yeah. And even he was pretty big too, but it was like.
I'm pretty sure, is it Lily Zhao from the Green Bay area there, the sports reporter, put this up last year, like, she's older than basically almost everyone on the Green Bay Packers roster, and I am the same age as her. And I was like, oh, cool. Like, I see Za'Darius Smith, and I see a 35-year-old man. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, he, like, just was able to rent a car, like, a couple years ago. And, like, no, he's not. But they all look the same. And, yeah, Josh Myers looks like a man among boys as well, so – yeah, that's my next thing. I'll get a picture of the Josh Myers in my yearbook and send that out to everybody. But that should wrap it up for us here. I think we did a great job as our first time together. Looking forward to a lot more down the line. Anything that you guys want to promote? Let people know whereabouts they can find you and everything, Janelle.
Yeah, so obviously you can find me every other, for the most part, Tuesdays on Packaday. You can find me doing hockey at SIA First Line every Thursday on Game On Wisconsin Open Book with Eli here and Zach Jacobson, and Minds of the Game with Brandon Bostic And you can also just find all of that on my Twitter at BigMac_4.
Cool. Eli?
Yeah, so you can find me on Twitter at BookofEli_NFL. And you can find any of my writing at PackerReport.com or Crocker Report if you're looking for more scouting, draft kind of stuff. And then obviously, like Jen said, every Thursday night, open book on Game On Wisconsin. And if you want to check out my YouTube page, just Ellie Berkowitz. And
oh my God, you said it.
All my videos.
You said it. He said his name correctly for the first time.
I'm
going to
stare into it now.
I was like, did he spell the YouTube channel weird on purpose?
No, Dan. Okay, this is happening.
It's time. Oh, Zach's going to be so mad that this is happening here and not open book.
So for everyone, I'll do it on open book too. But basically, someone suggested Book of Eli as my Twitter handle, and I just liked it. And also people assume my name is Eli, but I actually go by Ellie. So you can both feel free to call me whatever you'd like. But yeah, it turns out my entire identity is fake. Yeah.
I have been waiting months for you to tell people.
Ben's been making me nuts to reveal my real name as if I'm
well,
like.
When Tanyan said Tanyan and then the whole Matt LaFleur thing, I was like. Your time.
I know, but... that was my time. But everyone listening, it's gonna change your life. My name's Ellie, so good luck.
Everyone has the different process of you know showing their true self, and we respect everybody's timeline and path to get to where they are. So I respect it, Eli or Ellie, whatever you want. Yeah,
exactly.
Just not Elliot. He doesn't let us call him Elliot.
Yeah, Elliot's my actual name. If you want to just call me that, you call me that too.
That's the mom name.
Yeah, she likes to go,
Elliot?
Yeah, like that, yeah.
You can find me on Twitter as well, at DK All The Way. Not much more than the every other Tuesday here on the Pack A Day podcast. We will have something big this week for Game On Wisconsin. We are interviewing... this is the third time now, and it's the second time that he has requested to come on with us and talk with us. So I'm going to say not just friend of Lombardi's Bar, but also close personal friend, Joe Thomas. Interviewing Joe Thomas tomorrow on Monday for a special Lombardi's Bar episode that we're going to air on Tuesday night at 8:30 Eastern, 7:30 Central on the Game On Wisconsin socials. So you check that out. Joe Thomas is always a lot of fun, especially when he comes on these last couple times. He's very much more freewheeling and kind of lets his Packer fan side of him come out a little bit more. I hope you guys check that out. Hope you're following us, the podcast, on Twitter at Packaday Podcast. Give us a follow, retweet, subscribe, all of that stuff. Subscribe, rate, and review the podcast itself. Tell your friends about it. Also, make sure you're checking out the YouTube channel as well. Andy's killing it over there with the daily Packaday Podcast videos on the YouTube channel. Just again, Packaday Podcast. So make sure you're checking all of that out again. Until next time, we see you guys in 2 weeks from now. Me, Janelle, and Eli. Gotta say, go Pack, go.
Go back, go.